I start by saying, if you're wondering about my name, so my name is Satu. I'm originally from Finland. That's why I have the weird name. I have quite a long background in the film industry. I've been running a film festival, and then I've been working at the National Fund in Finland. And now I've been working for IAVE for 12 years, so already quite some time. So in total, I've been in the film industry about 25 years. IAVE has also a long history, so it's already 34 years long. It started as a single program, which is the Producers Workshop, which is still the main program, but nowadays we're doing a lot more. So I will just very briefly mention also the other programs, so you can also ask about them in case you're interested, but then I will tell you a little bit more about the Producers Workshop, the main program. So on top of the Producers Workshop, we also do a couple of sort of more specialized workshops, shorter ones. Julia already mentioned the marketing workshop. That's like a 5 days workshop about marketing, which is for producers, distributors, but also anybody else like marketing agents or anybody who is working with film marketing. Then we do another more specialized workshop, which is for quite experienced producers who are their own company owners. And it's about leadership and company structures. It's called IAVE Plus. Then we have programs with other continents. So something that probably interests Catalina very much is Puentes, which is a dedicated program for European and Latin American producers who wish to co-produce with the other continent. We have exactly the same concept with Asia, with a program called Ties That Bind for European and Asian producers. And we are also partners. We're not running it ourselves, but we are partners in something called Creative Producers in Daba, which is for African, European, and North American producers. It's run by the Realness Institute in South Africa. We also are partners in a new initiative called Green Film Lab, which is practically run by Torino Film Lab, which is about greening of film production. And on top of this, we do a lot of what we call IAVE on demand, which are tailor-made programs for basically anybody anywhere in the world. So normally there's a partner, which could be a media desk, a film school, a film festival, a producers association, a fund, whoever who contacts us and asks us to create a tailor-made workshop program for producers or wider industry in their area. And they tell us exactly what the topics are that they are lacking on. So this is actually something that is taking a lot of our time nowadays. So I'd say nowadays we do like 10 to 15 IAVE on demand every year on top of all the other programs. But now I go a little bit more into details. So I start by saying that everything that I say about the Producers Workshop in terms of sort of philosophy or approach basically applies also to all the other programs, because it's like how we do the thing. And the first thing to say is that we are always there trying to help producers to develop their own skills, producers to develop themselves in order to make like a lasting successful career, rather than being a project development program. So even if a producer comes to the Producers Workshop with a project, we of course care about the project, we help with the project, but the idea is actually to help them discover tools, strategies, and ways of thinking that can be applied also to future projects. The other very central idea behind IAVE is that it's all about sharing. So a big part of all of the workshops is spent in group work, where all the participants are reading each other's projects, discussing each other's not only projects, but also career issues, company issues, whatever issues there are. And as the program is open for producers basically all over the world, even though the majority comes from Europe, we have very different kind of producers with different backgrounds, different kind of knowledge, different kind of point of view. So the idea is that the support does not only come from the experts, but also from the other participants. That's a very, very central point. The other point which is also about sharing, is that all the experts that we use are industry professionals, so they are not teachers by education. So for instance, if there is a person talking about film financing, it is somebody who is actually doing film financing, or a marketing expert is actually doing film marketing. So it's sort of like a sidetrack that they also teach, but they're not teachers. They are sharing their knowledge. And this is very important for us because we all know that everything changes very rapidly. So we need to have people who are actually living the reality of right now to be able to actually understand the current issues and topics that need to be discussed. Okay, I will give you very shortly some practical knowledge about the program, but I will keep it as short as possible because this is always the boring part. So for the producers workshop, as Vivian already mentioned, the deadline for applications for next year is already August 29th. And the selection process always takes quite a long time because we like to look at every applicant very individually. Like I mentioned earlier, we are always concentrating on the producer. So we really want to understand who the person is who is applying and why they think this is the moment they should come to the program. So we first do a pre-selection where we are sort of trying to cut down the number of applicants. We normally get, it depends on the year, and of course I don't know how it will be this year, but normally we get between 200 and 250 applications. And in the pre-selection, which is based on the application package only, so text only, we try to cut it down to 100. And then those who make it through the pre-selection are all invited for an online interview with our head of studies, which is exactly the point where we try to get an even deeper understanding on who they are. In the selection, I would say that everybody who makes it through the pre-selection are always eligible. I mean, we get very, very high level applications. And it is very heartbreaking that we then have to cut it down further because we only have around 50 seats to give. So once we are in the second part of the selection, it's not only about sort of it's actually not at all about who is best or something like that, but it's about if we think it is a moment that is beneficial for them. For instance, sometimes people try to apply a little bit too early, and we clearly see that actually they would get more out of the program if they came with a little bit more experience. Or of course, there are also considerations like diversity, geographic diversity, but also all kinds of other diversity. But if I start with the geographic, we divide the 50 producers into four groups. And of course, it's super important to have all kinds of points of views in all the groups. So for instance, talking about countries, we don't put people from the same country in the same group, which means that normally the absolute maximum from one country in 1 year is four, because of the number of the groups. Obviously, from most countries, it's much less, like one or two, but countries like Germany tends to be four. Also, as I was talking about this sharing and having different kind of knowledge and points of views that you can support each other with, we are looking very much for different kind of company structures, innovative thinking, interesting new ideas how to do things. And this is also something that is really big part of the selection, to look at not only what the applicant would get of the program, but what they could bring with them, what kind of ideas, interesting discussions for the other participants. So all of this takes basically the whole autumn. So we have the final selection in December, and then we ask the selected participants to confirm by early January. And then the workshop starts. There are three workshops over the year. First one is in March, second in June, and third in October, all of them in different countries in Europe. And all of them take 1 week. And between the workshops, also prior to workshop one, there's quite a lot of homework that we ask for. Obviously, if you are developing a project, a big part of that homework is something that you would be doing anyway, like new versions of the finance plan, new versions of the script, developing the marketing strategy and so on. But it does take quite a lot of time. So one thing that we always ask people to consider when they apply is this a good year time-wise? Because there are like 3 weeks of workshop, and then the time to do all the homework, plus to read all the materials of all the other producers in your group, takes at least another 3 weeks, could take even longer. So it shouldn't be like a year that is very intense in terms of going into production, or, well, it depends what you're doing. There are two possible ways to participate. One is with a project, and those participants we call participants focusing on project development, or without a project, so participants focusing on career development. The second category is partly people who are actually not producers, because we are also open for applications from other industry professionals who need to have a deep understanding of producers' realities. That means, for instance, representatives of film funds, or sales agents, or lawyers, or anybody else who feels like their own profession would be done better if they better understood the actual reality of producers. Part of them, the participants focusing on career development, are also producers who actually choose that because it is, for instance, we have had participants who are already quite experienced, sort of more experienced than most of our participants, but so they don't really need so much help with the project development part, but they want to sort of take the time to reinvent themselves in one way or the other. It could be a moment where they started their own company, they merged, they went from documentary to fiction, or there could be many, many, or even we have had participants who have said that they have been doing like on this autopilot for years and years and years, and they just want to rethink the whole development process of projects and what you could do differently. So there are many reasons for that. Anyway, so the participants who come with a project are invited to bring their writer along to workshops 1 and 2, where there's a lot of feedback on the script from the group, but also from script consultants. But the third workshop, the writers are no longer invited, because in the third workshop, we are trying to bring the project more towards the market by inviting a lot of decision makers. Normally we have something like 50 to 70 decision makers who are sales agents, fund representatives, TV commissioners, different kind of people who come and have individual meetings with the participants. So in that setup, it looks a little bit like a co-production market, but actually it's very, very different from the sort of idea behind it, because the decision makers know that they are not there with the goal of only meeting projects that could fit their slate or that, that they would be interested in, as they would be at the co-production market, but they are there actually to discover upcoming producers, upcoming companies. So it's really a place to make connections and to facilitate it if you don't have a project at the moment that they that would fit with a certain decision maker, but maybe in the future, and then you already know that person. So that's basically a very, very short version of the introduction of the program, but I think it really would be more fruitful if we continue with your questions, comments, conversation. Anybody?
Thank you very much. Julia maybe has a question already. Or
I have a question actually. Or two questions maybe. One would be if I applied with a project, do you have any hints what is a project that would profit from the AVE feedback, or at what stage it should be, or are there any projects that might be more suited or less suited?
Absolutely. First of all, I want to say that don't be afraid of submitting any project, because I mean, as I said, we are focusing on the producer. So if we see that this is a producer we would like to select, but the project is not great, this would come up in the interview with the head of studies, who would say like, hey, do you have anything else? So it's not like once you have submitted, there can't be any changes. Second, Sure, there are some things about the project. First of all, the stage, it should be in early development in terms of story development, because the idea is to have enough material, like minimum treatment or first version of script around there. But also it shouldn't be too developed, because otherwise you will not be, the idea is that you will still get the advantage of getting all the feedback from the script consultant and from the group and the group leader and so on. In terms of financing, it doesn't matter if there is any financing in place or not. In terms of format or genre, it should be either feature length or series. It can be documentary or fiction. It can be also animation, but in those cases, we want to make it super clear that we are not specialized in animation. So animation would be treated as fiction or documentary, whatever it is besides it.
Mm-hmm.
Is there something else about it that I forgot to say? Ah, yeah, maybe one more thing, which is like, it does not necessarily have to be intended for international co-production, but if it's not, it should have at least some international appeal. So I would not recommend to apply with, let's say, a very local domestic comedy.
Mm.
That wouldn't.
So it's not like the case that it should be open for a co-producer that you are searching for within the program or?
Not necessarily. I mean, if you have such a project, of course, this can be very helpful, as we have 50 participants and they normally come from almost 40 different countries. So you have a lot of possibilities there for finding. So if you are looking for co-producers, it's of course perfect. Yeah. But if you don't have such a project, it doesn't matter.
Is that the first question, or did you have a second one?
I have another one also, but I see that Wolfram is also having his hands up, so I might come back.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe then Wolfram is up next.
Yes, thank you. About when to enter this process, like I'm working on a series, I have a co-producer in Germany, and we already have a co-producer in India. And we went to Cannes and we already had contacts there. Now the question would be, are we already way too far ahead to now enter an EVE program with this kind of setup, with a treatment, with actually a project folder already set up, and except the financing, we have everything. So the whole, let's say, philosophy of the project is already there. But of course, there's the writer's room that has to be established, or the concept room that has to be done, and all this kind of stuff. So how, like, at what point and in which program would we participate, or is this more like something where we would ask for support on demand, or so what's your take on that?
It is actually a very complicated question, because it actually depends on if you still do you feel like you need some feedback on which parts. I mean, if you already
have, especially the sales agent are very difficult to get, you see, because I, from what the way I look at it, it doesn't make any sense to develop anything unless you get really market signals. But to get market signals, people just are very difficult to give them to you, because if the project is not, if you have no stars attached, you don't have a streamer on board, nobody's really going to look at it. So it's this chicken egg thing, you know, the smaller the project is, the more difficult it is to get the really important market input. And once it's getting bigger and bigger, well, then I have my own market input already. So a program like yours, where you said in the third step, we have this meeting with actually people, deciders, all kinds of people from TV commissions, from you have sales agents there. This is, of course, the most interesting part of the entire development project, because everything else you do before is just, you know, telling yourself stories. And you really need this very solid input from the market. And that's extremely difficult to get, especially that's my experience so far. And I like to think a project from the very end, like, who am I going to sell this to? But the people who are buying are hard to, you know, hard to get, even just to get an opinion, because of course they're flooded and overloaded with stuff. So this is the kind of problem I'm trying to find a way to sneak through this thing and like get feedback on something that is not yet there. But I need this feedback in order to make it in such a way that in the end it will sell. this is a really complicated thing.
I'm wondering about two things. First of all, you are really talking about the project. And as I said, you know, we are actually more focusing on the producer, not on a single project. So I'm not entirely sure if this is the right. I'm thinking maybe you should rather consider something like, you know, ACE is doing like a series program that could be more useful, because, you know, in our workshops, we have a mix of feature film, documentary and series producers. So we are not concentrating on series only. So it will be
other projects that are feature films.
But as you are talking about this one project,
this was just an example. When you apply, you have to start with something. You would enter with one project and say, well, this is what I'm working on. How could Eve help me to somehow get ahead? And and I think this, especially when you mentioned this third meeting, this is when I got all interested and I said, yeah, this is exactly, in fact, I would do this as a first meeting. Before I do all the development, the first thing I need to know before I write anything, what would the market say? This, because otherwise you may, you know, develop into a direction and then they end up saying like this, what we heard in Cannes, you get all these feedbacks when you do pitches. And then you hear very interesting things from people who say, but actually, if it was more like this, and in this market, you can't do that, blah, blah, blah. So this is extremely interesting information. And
I know that's sort of like a conundrum, because obviously it is clear that you have to think about who is going to buy a series or film in the end. But at the same time, it is also a truth that, you know, the people making decisions about acquisitions, they are super, super busy, and normally you get one shot. So this is the reason we would not make you meet the decision makers in the beginning, because if you have not gone through the process of actually thinking how you want to present it, and they hear it and they're like, okay, vaguely interesting, but not really, they will never ever look at it again. Right. So that's why we want to support the participants throughout the year to understand how to present it in a way, or not to present it yet if it's not like a solid package yet.
Right.
So it's really just to get feedback from decision makers. That does not fly, because I mean, they look at your project once, and if it's not ready for them to look at, that will be it.
Sure. So you focus on the pre-presentation development phase. So if I have already done that, thing.
Yes,
and if I already have a structure for that, then it wouldn't make all that much sense to redo this. This is just what I wanted to know. What your focus is? Well, you actually incubate a kind of approach.
Sort of the logic of the year is that we start from sort of development issues. We go into co-production issues and financing issues, and we go towards the point when you are ready to present the project to the market, where you have like enough solidity in the packaging of it.
All right. Thank you very much.
If there's nobody else, Julia, go ahead with your second question.
I was wondering about what you mentioned about the timing when to apply, when it's a good point in a career to apply. And that might also be connected to a question when somebody else from my company participated recently. Would that be like a downside for you, or are you really focusing on the individual person and it doesn't really matter if the company appears again soon?
Yeah, yes and no. In the sense that, yes, we are always considering every individual, but as it is very competitive, let's say if we had two individuals that would be like really the same, like we could take one or the other, but how to make the difference, then the difference could be that one of them is from a company that was there recently, because we're also very much aware of trying to be fair. In the sense that, you know, we are financed by Creative Europe, but we are also financed by our different partners from the different countries where we do the workshops. So basically, at large, I would say that the whole of Europe is sort of financing the program at different points. And that means that we need to be fair in terms of giving equal opportunities. And that means also among the different companies in different countries. So yes, there could be a second participant from the same company soon after the previous one. But if we need to make a difference between two applicants, that could play against you. But maybe I also want to mention if you are uncertain whether you should apply now or not, it never hurts to do that, because it's quite very normal for our participants to have applied more than once before they are selected. So this is nothing to be ashamed of or to be afraid of. And as you might know, when you apply for the first time, you have to pay a small registration fee. You only have to pay that at the first application. So if you have to reapply, you don't have to pay again that fee. So you are basically losing nothing. So if you are sort of not entirely sure, just go ahead still. And of course, I mean, when there are people who are reapplying, that also plays for their benefit, because obviously we also see that, okay, this person already applied, so maybe it's time, and then it could play for you.
Mm. And what you mentioned about the right time in the career, could you maybe explore that a little bit more, what that might mean?
Yeah, that's very difficult. And that's why if you look at our website, we actually don't say much about it, because again, it comes down to looking at people as individuals. So it, as a rule of thumb, it's like for what we call young producers, which is not a reference to anybody's age, but sort of not too far in their career. In reality, it has actually changed over the years, because when EAVE started 34 years ago, it was really, really young producers, like before their first feature film. But what has happened actually over the years is that exactly because of the selection being so competitive, it has sort of forced us to select more and more experienced people, because when we look at the applications and we see that there are some people for whom it's almost too late to come. So we sometimes think, okay, we need to take this person now, otherwise it will be really, really too late. And the other one maybe could wait a bit more. And this has sort of pushed up the level. So I would say nowadays, most of the European participants have produced at least a feature film, or feature length film, could be also a documentary or a series. But very few Europeans are below that level. On the other hand, we also have participants from all kinds of countries, even like countries where there's no film industry structure, no film fund, nothing. And then, of course, if you come from that kind of a background, it might be very difficult to ever get to the stage where you can produce anything. So it really depends. Also, another situation is that sometimes we have applicants who have only recently started producing, but maybe they did 10 years as a sales agent. So they have very solid understanding of the industry before actually starting to produce. And that, of course, also makes a difference. So there is no simple answer to that. But does this
give you? Yeah, sure. I wasn't expecting a simple answer, yeah. More like a general impression.
Yeah. Catalina.
Thank you. I have a really personal question. It's really because of my situation. For example, for EAVE Puentes, okay, I'm from Colombia, but I have a company here in Berlin. So I would apply, of course, with me here and this company, but how is it? Because like I understand, I must have a project from Latin America or be like a presential producer without a project from Europe. And I'm always in this gray line. It's like the same with, for example, with Creative Europe. I'm not a European company, so I cannot apply to Creative Europe. Oh, no. But I'm living here, paying here my taxes and doing here everything. And because I'm 100% Colombian and not German, so I am not an European company. And I had this feeling with EAVE that it was like the same thing, like I'm from there but living here, so I'm nobody.
I have several things to say, but first I have to wonder, if you have a company registered in Germany, you should be considered as a European company.
Josephine can say something about it. Is really
the ownership of the company has to be in hand of Europeans. Staatsbürgerschaft. I don't know what's in English. Citizenship have to be European people running the company, which is applied.
Are you talking about like media funding? Because I mean, for us, I don't know if there are different rules for trainings than fundings, but for us, we can consider either citizenship or residency.
Okay.
So normally we could consider you either as German or as Colombian.
Okay. Okay.
And the second thing is the structure is slightly different. It's much smaller. There are only 15 participants.
Yeah.
There are 5 participants with projects from Latin America, 5 participants with projects from Europe, and another 5 participants without a project from Europe who are normally not producers, but rather people working at, for instance, film festivals focusing on Latin America or lawyers in Latin American European co-productions or sales agents of Latin American. So somebody else who is very focused on Latin America. But anyway, so basically as a producer, you can either be a European or a Latin American producer with a project, because it's really, it goes both ways.
Okay.
So it's for European projects who want to co-produce with Latin American projects who want to co-produce with Europe. And basically, I mean, when you apply, we ask for all of your nationalities and residencies and everything, and then you just send a project, and then it's in the hands of the selection committee how to deal with it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Any more questions? Maybe I have a question. Maybe could you talk a little bit about the EAVA network? How does it work?
So basically, anybody who has participated in one of our programs automatically becomes part of the network, which after all these 34 years is, I just said to Vivian, I forgot to check the latest figure, but I think it's something like 2,800 people are part of the network. And it's really like an automatic thing. So once you're in it, you are in it. no membership fees or anything. And what we do is several things. First of all, we organize a lot of networking events for our network, like at different festivals where people from different programs and different years can also meet and come together. We do a lot of individual matchmaking, like people are asking us, for instance, that, yeah, look, I'm working on a children's film where I would need a co-producer from Greece. So do you know anybody working on children's films? And so we really are sort of like a hub for information in that sense, putting people together. We have a lot of different partnerships with different co-production markets and festivals for our producers to have favorable conditions. We promote everybody. So it's not only about the project that they came with to one of the programs, but with anything they're doing later on. So for instance, in our newsletter, we have all these sections like now at festivals, world sales, starting shooting. And of course, as it is such a large network, we can't know everything. So we also encourage people to keep us posted so that we can include that information. So it's really, I would say that if you ask anybody who has done the EAVA Producers Workshop, what is like the main benefit that they took from it, they would say normally two things. The first one is definitely the network, because also just in your year, you had like 50 people from almost 40 different countries. So you have a lot of access to information. And also, you know, people, so there's a certain level of trust. And the other thing is and also, you know, the network with the decision makers from the third workshop. And the other thing is they really feel like, you know, all this knowledge or ideas which they get, which is not only from the experts, but also from each other, gives them like a push. Like I have been told by many participants that they feel like their career took like a jump, which would otherwise have taken like several years. So but just like a brain push, so to say. And I would say also a thing that people always mention is that just the fact that you take the time, like 3 entire weeks out of the office, actually out of the everyday busy, just do this and that kind of life, gives you the opportunity to reevaluate what you're doing, why you're doing, where you should be going. Wolfram, are you mute?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Now, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. I have a question about the Eve on Demand, connecting to my previous question. It's probably not possible to put a price tag on it, but is there like a range what the producer would have to think it would cost him to actually, you know, get, because this would basically be some kind of consultancy or coached consultancy with a project, or is there no way to say this in general? It would really depend on each project. And
well, we do actually not offer individual consultancy on one project or like that. This is not some, we are a very small team, so we don't have the time resources to deal with that kind of thing. So the Airbnb on demand is always for a group.
Okay.
So the partner could be like a fund, a festival, a producers association who offers it for a group of participants.
Okay.
It's like a basically same kind of program, but just for a group of participants from a specific country or region or.
Okay, so it's not a producer with a project and then you set up a.
No.
Okay.
No, unfortunately.
Okay. No, that's okay. Yeah. You know, you can't do everything.
That's
life.
Actually a good business idea for somebody to start such a company offering individual consultancy services.
That exists. It's just, you know, very, very, very pricey. And and you don't know what you get. So, thank you.
You're welcome. Catalina.
Yeah, Satu, can you please tell a little bit more about this EAVE Plus?
Yeah. So it's a small program. It's 4 days long. We take maximum 15 participants at a time. And the participants are basically a little bit more experienced producers who, let's say like very often if they, I mean, you can obviously apply to that program without having done any other EAVE programs, but many of them have done the producers workshop earlier. So I would say a very normal way is that they come to EAVE Plus like 5 years later, or something like that. It is for people who own their own companies and are leaders in their company teams. And it's really focused on company issues. So it's no projects, or you could say that the project at this workshop is the company. And it depends on what kind of questions people are dealing with. It could be about upsizing, downsizing, merging, new company structures, new innovative ideas, how to deal. It's based on, again, group work where everybody's issues are being discussed together, but also like both inspirational company studies. So we normally invite two or three different companies that have like some like a new way of approaching things as an inspiration of how you can do, but also then very sort of practical informational sessions about, you know, changes in the industry that could affect what kind of companies seem to be surviving. And it depends very much also on who the participants are, because as I said, it's only 15 persons, so we tailor make it a little bit based on what the group needs.
Okay,
and that's basically it.
And it's also this international experience.
It's international, yes, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, and one more detail.
So international, I mean co-productions.
It's not about projects at all. It's really about companies.
Yeah, but company with co-productions experience.
Yes.
International co-production experience.
Yes. I don't think we have ever even had applications from companies with no co-production experience, because I mean, they wouldn't come to an international workshop like this about the company. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And one more detail about that is that for this program, we actually encourage it if people can come with their company partner, if there's one, Like for instance, if two people own a company together, it's much more beneficial if they come together.
Okay. Great, thanks.
All right, then. Thank you so much.
And thank you, everybody. Very nice to meet you. And thank you, Vivian, for inviting me.
Thank you for coming.
Bye-bye. Nice to meet you.